That's exactly how I feel about children's church. I want to go too. Okay? they have a lot of fun and a lot of joy and a lot of activity. We hear a lot of different stories when they go and questions that they ask, and it is just wonderful time that our children can really focus on the things of God. You know, we live in an age today where we are coming across little ones who do not really know about Jesus in our world, here in Zephyr Hills. They don't know songs like "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." They don't know that. They don't know that Jesus loves the little children of the world. They don't know that. They don't know these songs. And so it's so important for us who know Christ, and that is really the message that is found in Hebrews, for those of us who know Christ, it's so important that we stay with Christ, that we don't drift away from Christ. And so as you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews, and we're going to be looking at the last part of chapter 4, and we will jump in, if time permits, to chapter 5, but there is so much here, so much that I believe God would have us look at this morning. And so if you have your Bibles or your smart tablet or your phone, we invite you to turn there to Hebrews, and we'll start reading in chapter 4, verse 14. Verse 14, and we'll read through chapter 5 to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Chapter 5. "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is ignorant and because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Would you pray with me again? Father, we are so grateful that we can be in the house of the Lord today. We're mindful of your presence among us, and we ask that you will speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit as only you can. You know each heart. You know each thought. Lord, you know each need. And we pray that you will speak and move and work as only you can, so that Christ will be exalted in each of our lives in a marvelous, wonderful way. And Lord, we do pause for just a moment. And we thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the example of those who have loved you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, who've given their lives to serve you, who have been so faithful to you. And Lord, I'm thankful for Paul Andrews and his love for you and knowing that he is with you in your presence, enjoying Jesus. I thank you. I thank you for his love for your church, how he desired everyone in the church to know you and love your word. I thank you for his love for his family, his wife, Helen, and his son and daughters and their families and the grandkids. Lord, I thank you. And I praise you for the testimony and truly a servant of the Most High. Well done. So, Lord, we praise you today. And we thank you for the life well lived of Paul. And now as we look into your word, we pray that you'll speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit and that you'll move and minister as only you can. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for letting me take just a moment of liberty there. And I could probably just brag on our brother. I could brag on our brother. There's any way that we could finish well. I want to finish well, like Paul. He finished well. I went to pray with him a couple of times, and he prayed for me after I prayed for him. But not only for me. Oh, not only for me. He prayed for you. He prayed for you. He knew he was going to enter in. He knew he was going to enter into glory, but he prayed for you, the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus, so that we would not grow weary and lose heart in the battle. Man. So with that in mind, we've come to Hebrews chapter 4, here in verse 14 through 16. And the idea that the writer of Hebrews gives us is a prominent one about Jesus. If you say to people who Jesus is, well, they might say, well, he's a prophet. They might say that he is the Son of God. They might say that he is the Savior. They might say, oh, no, he was the bread of life, yeah. Or he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. But Hebrews paints a picture of Jesus as our great high priest. Now, for some of us in the Gentile Protestant world, that may seem a little strange. But we are introduced to this idea back in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And the words there, it says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might, Jesus might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation, big word, for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. And then notice chapter 3, verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers, or holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. And that is Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. We're to consider him. A little bit later on in Hebrews it states, we're to consider him so we don't grow weary and lose heart. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. We're considering Jesus Christ this morning as our great high priest. And in verse 14 of chapter 4, I would call these verses the announcement of the Lord as our high priest. You might have seen that poster with Uncle Sam saying, "I want you to join the U.S. Army." It was popular back in the day, especially during World War II. It was propaganda posters, most famous featuring Uncle Sam, one of the faces of the American war effort. And his existence, Uncle Sam, can be traced back to 1813 to a meat supplier for the Army during the War of 1812 named Samuel Wilson. The Uncle Sam cartoon was then made in the 1860s, later made the face of World War II recruitment poster, and the U.S. war machine beginning to grow. There was a shortage in soldiers, so the draft took place, announced all men between ages 21 and 45 that their civic duty changed from working and providing for their family to fighting overseas in an effort to keep the homeland safe. And that famous line, "I want you to join the Army," was deployed throughout. And that was your civic duty. It was to bring everybody in unity. The imagery used here of Uncle Sam dressed all in red, white, and blue with an American top hat while featuring white hair. His look is stern and he stiffly points at the viewer with his right hand. The American attire plus older stature creates a sense of subtle superiority. It channels the "listen to your elders" quote phrase, building credibility in Uncle Sam's character. The added effect of the stiff pointing to the right index finger makes the poster more personal, as though Uncle Sam is staring and pointing into the viewer's soul. The stature and apparel creates a validity for a character which makes appear foreign at first. And it brought unity there. People felt it was their duty. Today, this historian who wrote that article, Ryan Fasick, who said all this, he said, even today, though, with our war on terror, it's a little bit different. When we think about that, Uncle Sam wants you. Kind of unique. When we think about that announcement, how important it is. Well, God and all of heaven and the writer of Hebrews, filled with the Holy Spirit, gives an announcement here to the Hebrews to remind them, listen, yes, Moses was great, and Joshua was great, and Aaron was great, but listen, there's someone greater that you need to know about. There's someone greater you need to put your hope in. There's someone greater whom you need to believe in, and that one who is great is our great high priest, Jesus Christ. For those of the day, the Hellenistic Jew, those practicing Judaism, in that day in the Jewish worship, the high priest was the only one who could enter into the Holy of Holies one time a year for the Day of Atonement, and they would tie a rope around that priest as he went in to the Holy of Holies, into the presence of Almighty Holy God, hoping that God would accept the sacrifice not only of that high priest, but of all, for all the people, so their sins would be atoned for once and for all. And if God did not accept it, God would strike that high priest dead, thus the rope around his ankle, and they would have to pull him out of the Holy of Holies. The people were filled with fear in the presence of an Almighty God. The high priest represented the people before God, and he was sort of that ambassador, so to speak, that representative, and he went in. And we know through Scripture that he had to make atonement, sacrifice for his own sins before he could make atonement and sacrifice for the sins of the people. The announcement was given. In fact, we know here in the words of verse 14, notice again the passage, it says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. He ascended up to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." It's that same reality. Listen, what makes Christ special, superior, great, is that he is serving in heaven currently as our high priest. He is before God the Father. In Acts 1:8, it says that when Jesus said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The writer of Hebrews reminds his readers that Jesus is our great high priest here, and that Jesus is the Son of God. Two descriptions of Jesus for the Hebrew Christian to think about. The first may be foreign, like we said, and we may think, well, high priest, who could that be? Some of us may have our minds go to the Indiana Jones movie, you know, that part there where it was Raiders in the Lost Ark, and the scene where the Germans have now captured the Ark, and the French archaeologist puts on the garbs and the robes of a high priest in order, in his mind, to open up the Ark, somehow manipulate and control the power of God. How mistaken he was. Exodus 28 describes the robes and garments of the high priest. They were to be sanctified, set apart, made holy in the courtyard because it was holiness. God is holy. And for us, we need to be serving a holy God. We need to be holy. And there's no way that you and I can be holy in and of ourselves. So the Lord God Almighty demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, while we were still unholy, he gave Jesus in order that we would be made holy. If you want to read about the priest's clothing, Exodus 28, verses 1 through 43, it's there for you to know about the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet yarn, the fine linen. It all highlights the dignity and honor bestowed upon Aaron and his sons because they were to be set apart holy. The high priest was to wear that ephod, that breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim and all that. And it is interesting, and maybe this might be a new trend. I won't do it. But the high priests were to enter into the Holy of Holies barefoot. Maybe we could preach barefoot. No, I wouldn't do that. But I've known preachers who have. But signifying the holiness of God, reminding them that of the burning bush with Moses, take off your sandals because the ground is holy. Where the presence of the Lord is, his holiness permeates that area. Notice Jesus is serving as our great high priest. As Revelation talks about it, the Lamb in Revelation 7:17 says, the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. He will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb is referring to Jesus Christ, who was slain, who is now standing in victoriously in the center of the throne. He's described as their shepherd. All who have put their faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord are looking to him. And he will guide them to living water, spiritual and everlasting refreshment. We were reminded of last week where Christ is our rest. We are to enter into that rest. We are to enter into his peace. We are to take him upon us as our Sabbath rest. And he will give spiritual refreshment. And then notice what God does. Revelation says he wipes away every tear from their eyes, every tear from their eyes. Who does that? Our Lord. Our Lord does that. Jesus Christ is high priest serving in heaven because of that second description as well. He is the Son of God. God broke the silence of heaven. Remember at his baptism in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, 17, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." He is God's Son. We could say more about his sonship, but there is much more to discover. The theologian George Guthrie stated this, that these verses 14 through 16 in chapter 4 is sort of a pivotal part of the book. It introduces an exhortation, a couple of them, and it kind of swings. It's an overlapping transition. Notice what the writer says. He says, "Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess," that exhortation, because Jesus Christ is our great high priest, because he is serving in the heaven, and because he is the Son of God, we can hold firmly. The meaning here is to grasp, to cling to hold on tight. I think about the woman in the crowd running to see Jesus, and just to touch the hem of her garment, maybe she just grabbed and clutched the hem, and that's why he knew that the crowd was great. But it's clinging on to, it's hanging, it's holding firmly. And so the writer is saying, believer in Christ, Hebrew Christian, you need to hold firmly, cling to, hang on to your faith firmly. No matter what you are experiencing or what's going on or the persecution or the sufferings that you are enduring and dealing with because of who he is, you need to hold on. We can hold firmly to our faith because of what Jesus does as our high priest. Because verse 15 of chapter 4 says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. The beauty of that truth is, Jesus Christ knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on. He knows the heartaches. He knows the joys. He knows the pain. He knows the sorrow. He knows what you are experiencing. He knows what you and I are going through. He knows all about it. Yes, he does. He was tempted in every way. In other words, he knows the struggle that it is to yield to temptation, but he did not sin. He knew the pull, the yearning to go your own way and disobey God. He did not disobey his Father, but through Christ's obedience made it possible for us to be reconciled to the Father. Chapter 5, verse 8, 9 of Hebrews says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And we know the words in the garden where he said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." It was his desire to please his Father, to obey him, to resist temptation, to go near to God, and he will go near to you. And that was what Christ did and brought him glory and honor. And as Scripture says, exalted him a high because of who he is. We can tell him everything and anything. Amazes me that sometimes people say, well, God doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about what I'm going through. If there is a God, he's up there doing his own thing, you know. He's got to keep all the stars together. He doesn't have time to mess with little me. Oh, that's the farthest thing from the truth. The farthest thing from the truth. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Because Jesus Christ understands, yet he did not sin, we then can what? Verse 15, what can we do? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. Why? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. This word confidence is when we enter into God's presence, we are to enter in boldly, to offer up our prayers to the Lord with boldness and confidence because Jesus Christ is our high priest. We do this so that we can receive mercy and grace and help from God in our time of need. If there's ever a time that we need God's help, we need Him to meet us, it is now. Amen. It is today. I fear some have lost their confidence to enter into the throne room of God. Before the throne room of God, we're kind of afraid to look in, sort of like these children trying to peek in the throne room of God, and we think there's a big sign that says keep out because we don't have the ticket, but in a real sense, Christ has paved the way for us. He's clothed us with His robes of righteousness if we put our faith and trust in Him. We've been made new. The old is gone. The new has come. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and now we are citizens of the kingdom of light, and we are allowed to enter into the throne room gladly, and we are supposed to come in boldly with confidence. And yet there are those, because we look at the world around us, we look at society, we are overcome with anxiety, with the pressures, with the stress, with the problems of life, and instead of entering in, we don't even try. We're just numb or complacent. We lose the grasp, we lose the touch of the Savior, and we lose the clutch of our faith that we profess, and we somehow think God will not meet us in our time of need. So some of us may have started out on fire, and yet that fire is flickering. Some of us may have allowed the embers of our soul and our passion for the Lord to grow dim and smolder and almost be snuffed out. And we find ourselves going just going through the motions. And our heart is far from the Savior's touch. Let me tell you, this doesn't shock Jesus at all. If you find yourself there sort of dry or weary or worn out or complacent or just going through the motions and there's no real fire or passion for the Savior anymore, you've lost the touch. You don't think it matters anymore. You don't think He cares for you anymore. And you've listened to the lies of the world and you're sucked in by that. Listen, it doesn't shock Jesus that you find yourself there in that position because Jesus knew about Peter. He knew that Peter would deny Him. He told Peter ahead of time, and it did not surprise him. And Jesus still wants you. He still wants you to believe. He still wants you to receive. He still longs for you to grasp and hold firmly to your faith. He still wants you to hang on to Him, for He is serving in the heavenlies, interceding for you and for me on your behalf and my behalf. In fact, He took your place on the cross, paid the penalty for all your sin once and for all, so that you would receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, so that you would be reconciled to God the Father and be able to be confident, boldly, not arrogant, not filled with pride, not selfish, but stand in the strength of the Lord, trust in Him to accomplish what He has promised He would do. And God is saying that His Son, Jesus Christ, has now granted total access to Him, the Father, on your behalf by faith. The question is, do you believe? Do you really believe? Are you committed to follow? Are you ready to boldly approach God's throne of grace with your need? The need for forgiveness, maybe the need for healing, the need for patience, the need for peace, the need for comfort, the need for rest, the need to love. Jesus can and will meet you. Why? Because Hebrews says he is our great high priest. He is our great high priest. That word great, great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is our great high priest. Great because he did not sin, although understands everything we go through. Great because he obeyed his Father's will through his obedience, grants access to the Father to all who believe. We get to be a part of the inner workings to go into his presence. Great because he has paid the penalty for our sin once and for all on the cross. Hebrews 7:27 says he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9:12 says he entered once for all into the holy of places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Hebrews 10:10, and by that will, God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We don't have to feel like we stand outside the gate. We're allowed to come in to the Holy of Holies because of Jesus. He is great because Christ has done what no other person could do, save you and me from our sins, allow us to be made right before God and enter into a living relationship with God by faith, being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. So the question this morning, what does this mean? What does it mean? What difference does this make? Should make all the difference in the world. Because then I can go to the Father in the name of Jesus and I can tell him what's on my heart, what troubles my soul, what sin am I entangled with. And he hears, he listens, he understands, he sympathizes. And as we confess our sins, he forgives. He forgives. He forgives. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then he empowers and fills us with his Spirit so that as we go forth, we can walk in victory. We can follow his footsteps and leading. And we can yield not to temptation, but we listen to his voice and draw near to him. And then please him with our actions and our thoughts and our conduct. And we bring Christ's glory. What difference does this make? It means that Jesus Christ knows and understands what I'm going through, what I'm facing, what I'm feeling. It means that I can tell him anything and everything. It means that he is representing me and interceding for me before the Father. It means I can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And it means I can boldly and humbly approach God's throne with confidence. Confidence. And it means that I can trust Jesus. I can trust him. Will you? Are you? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the word this morning because it's your desire for us to be with you in your throne room, unworthy though we are, yet made holy because of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who for the joy endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, it's your desire for us to consider him so that we do not grow weary and lose heart, so that we do not get distracted and fade away, but that we fix our eyes in Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, I pray that we will, that we will trust you more. And Lord, only you know what's going on in the deep, deep inner workings of our heart. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit in this moment today that we will approach you in boldness because of what Jesus has done, and that we will let your Spirit search us. We will let your Spirit speak to us, and we will let your love overwhelm us as we confess not only our sin and tell you our needs, but allow you to meet us. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for the power of your word. And thank you for your amazing love. This we pray in Jesus' name.